In Psalms, the 27th chapter, David acknowledges and expresses both his joy and his despair to God. Let's listen as Pastor C. Wright continues with part two of his sermon entitled, "I Would Have Lost Heart Unless I Believed." Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry C. Wright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, saints. If you will, bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. And Lord, I just ask that you continue to be with me, Father, as you were with me through my studies. Father, I ask that you now communicate your message to your people, Father, that they may be built up and encouraged to go on for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalms, the 27th Psalm. And we'll be covering verses 7 through 14 on today. And while you're getting there. Just say a few things. One I'll say is that, you know, my the hospitality crew here makes me feel like Obama. So I was just like, I thank them for their diligence, but I'm like, wow. Opening doors and stuff, I'm like, man, I feel presidential. Yeah, no, not like Trump. Not like Trump, Pastor. No. Yeah, that was a funny. That was a funny. Oh, yeah. Okay. The other thing I want to say this, though, and this is on a serious note. From this pulpit, from the Sunday school teachers, and from Tuesday night, whenever we present God's word, the mission here is to present God's word, to present the truth. Amen. You know, I've been I looked at a movie the other night. And I've been in conversation at work as well with folks, and it's a lot of misleading stuff going on. It's a lot of misconceptions about Christianity. But one thing we hold true to here is true teaching, true preaching of God's word for right living. Amen? For right living. So we emphasize that here. We don't try to dummy it down. We don't try to do anything to compromise it. We do our best to present it in a way that it can edify you, that it can build you up, and it makes you want to run on, as the song says. Amen. Amen. So as we approach this word on today, I want you to keep that in mind. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant, my brother. And that was not like a slap in the face word. It means that he wanted you to be aware. He wanted you to know. He wanted them to know what God was trying to tell them. And that is my mission on today, for you all to know what God is saying. So from verse 7 through 14, I will read that out loud, and you can read silently with me. It says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." No, scholars state that the book of Psalms, the whole book of Psalms, can be divided into five books, right? And the first book, Psalms 1 to Psalms 41, is matched with Genesis. Because what they said is those five books, when you split the Psalms up, each book matches the first one of the first five books of the Old Testament. So this first book of Psalms, Psalms 1 through 41, matches with Genesis. Now, if it matches with Genesis, then that means it also takes the theme of Genesis. And the theme of Genesis is sin and restoration. Sin and restoration. Now, the other thing that you need to understand is that these Psalms have an earthly author. God used someone to pen these Psalms, these songs. Amen. And he used David in this first book quite often. Now, if anybody knew about sin and restoration, is David. Amen. And David was saying here in this 27th Psalm, remember we dealt with the first part a couple of weeks ago where David sounds so jubilant. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then all of a sudden, in the seventh verse, it seems like it takes a serious dip. Oh, Lord, hear my voice. Right? And we said that, you know, life, when we experience it, it gives us these ups and downs, right? It gives us these things. And David, in this psalm, you know, David was in a catch-22. You know, he was at his wits' end. He was dodging bullets. He was in dire straits. And all of those statements are an understatement. He was going through some things. He was going through some things. In Galatians, the sixth chapter, verses 7 through 8. Gives us a hint as to why he was going through some of these things. Because it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. We know the story of David. Yes, David was a man after God's own heart, but we also know that, it's like one speaker said, David wasn't winning any Father of the Year awards, right? He just wasn't. And then we also know that particular situation when he was just outside catching a cool breeze, and all of a sudden he looked, and he saw, right? He saw a dime piece. And the rest is history. Right? So we know that some of this was reaping what he had sown, right? And we also know from Numbers, the 32nd chapter and verse 23, part B says, "And be sure your sin will find you out." Your sin will find you out. So David was being restored, and although he was being restored, he was still suffering consequences. You know, I once saw this illustration, and this illustration comes to mind. And it's the person had a piece of paper, and he folded the piece of paper in half. On this half, he had sins. On this half, he had consequences. So if the sin was alcoholism, on this side, it would be cirrhosis of the liver, right? On this side, it had like premarital sex. On this side, it had wah, wah. Right? Right? And he went on. Right? And he went on. And he said this. He said, if I had this piece of paper, and he says, God deals with it just like this. Here's the sin, right? Here's the sin. And he tears it up, and he boils it up, and he forgives it, throws it away. But guess what you still have behind? You got another half of paper. You got cirrhosis of the liver. You got wine, right? You still have your consequences to sin. You're forgiven. All is forgiven. But there is some reaping what you have sown, and David was going through this at this time. And at this time, David was on the run from his enemies. That's what commentators state about this passage, that he was on the run from some enemies. And although he had repented, there was still this process of restoration, if you will, or reaping the consequences, right? And by the content of the Psalms, we see that David was troubled. He was very troubled at this time. We often state here at New Life that, you know, reading Scripture is God's way of talking to us, but prayer is our way of talking to Him, right? And what this first book of Psalms puts you in, or allows you to take a peep into, is these prayers, these songs that these saints have written in various situations, and they're talking to God. In other words, you can peep in on their conversation with God. And that's what we're doing today. We're peeping in on David's conversation with God when he was at his wits' end, at dire straits, enemies on his head. They wanted to do him in. Wanted to do him in. So, by the tone, as I stated, of this 27th Psalm. David was crying out to God, and David wanted to resolve this thing, right? He wanted to resolve this thing. And it reminded me of Peter, what Peter said in John, the 6th chapter, verses 67 to 69. You know, a lot of people, because of what Jesus had just said and done, he lost a lot of people in the crowd. They didn't want to follow him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? You don't want to leave me too, do you? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So David here was like saying, where else can I go but to the Lord in this situation? Where else can I go but to the Lord? And that's how life just treats us sometimes, where we are like at our wits' end. And it's not always a vacation. Just because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it doesn't mean that it's just rainbows and Skittles every day, see, right? Sometimes it's low. Sometimes it's real low. And David, if we kind of like put this thing in sections, right? If we put this scripture in sections from verse 7 to 10, David said, I need some attention. Lord, I need your attention. I need your attention, Lord. That's why I'm calling out to you. I need your attention. And then from 11 and 12, we see that he says, Lord, I need your advice. I need your counsel, your guidance, your leading. I need your advice, right? And why? Because from verse 13 to 14, he says, because I need assurance right now. You know, it's just looking kind of shaky right now. I need some assurance right now. So attention and advice, so I can have some assurance right now. Oh, Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. So David said, I need some attention here. Lord, I am crying out to you and you only. I ask that you show mercy, be gracious to me. In other words, just bend down and come and see about me in this situation. Give me some attention, Lord. Give me some attention. And you know, it's interesting because when we like turn over a new leaf, right, and we have a change of heart, right, and we've come to terms where we have seen Jesus and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, right, and we're saying all the right words because we're in dire straits. So all of a sudden it's just like how a person is locked up and they've been doing all kind of crazy stuff in public, but all of a sudden when they're locked up, you just see them walking around with a Bible. They have found Jesus in this stressful situation, right? And that's how, you know, but David's conversion, David's salvation was sure. He was looking to God to rescue him, and he said, Lord, you are mine. And when he repented and when he turned from all what he was doing and repented, he was seeking God. And you know, it's interesting because when we do that, because he said, you said, seek your face, God. And my heart said, Lord, I shall seek your face. Right? And it's interesting because, see, what happens is as soon as we make a decision to do that, guess what we want? Lord, come on. Hey, Lord. Yeah. We're a little like that, too. Like, once we have, you know, made our adjustment, we're like, Lord, where you? Come on. Come on, Lord. Come on. Come on. I turn. Don't stretch me too thin, Lord. Come on, please. Where you at? Where you at? You have been my help, right? And you've been my help. You have been there for me. You have been there before, and I know you can do it again. So, Lord, where you at? Lord, come on right now. Lord, you see it. Come on right now. You see it. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. Wow. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. So often we feel deep hurt from folks that are close in our camp, right? And when they're close in your camp, when they your main homie, dog, skillet, whatever y'all call them, it's like, man, they are close. They are there. And when they do something treacherous to you, it hurts even more. It hurts even more. And it hurts even more when they have the same last name as you. Right? When they even have the same last name. David was in a situation where his son wanted to take him out. His son was sending folks to trail him so they can capture him and so they could take him out. And he was saying, you know, for my father and my mother, he had a situation that he had to deal with because of his many enemies where he had to relocate his family for their protection. And some writers say that mother and father wasn't too happy with that. So they weren't too happy with David in regards to that. But David said, my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take me up. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. And the 6th verse says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. This part here. He will not fail you or forsake you. If all else fails, if all others fail, God will not fail. He will not fail you. You know, there's a time in which you are out there doing what you're doing, and David was doing his thing, and all of a sudden God had to turn his face. God had to turn his face, but turning his face did not mean that he turned his back on him. You hear that? Sometimes God can't see. He don't want to see what you're doing. He can't look upon that. His holiness, no. You're doing wrong. You're doing him wrong. Because all sin is against God. Amen? But because he turned his face does not mean that he turned his back on you. Amen. And David was resting in that. The fact that God would never turn his back on him. Amen. But David also said this, to move on. David said this. He said, Lord, I need your advice. I need your guidance. I need your direction, your counsel. He says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. Lead me in a level path. You know, I was thinking of an analogy here, and one that comes to mind just by what the words are saying here, when you research the words in this verse, it reminded me of how in the spoken word settings where people are just snapping their fingers, and every time somebody says something deep, all of a sudden everybody just snapping their fingers, and they, you know, and it's the way they say what they say and do what they do and how they pronounce their words and go from the beginning to the end. And when you're in that zone of saying like this and talking like this, they say that you are versing and flowing. That's what they say. You're versing and you're flowing. Right? This word teach has the imagery of water. And this water is just flowing. And he's saying, Lord, just flow on me and rain on me. Your teachings, your word, your wisdom, just flow on me. I don't need any of this type of. I need you to flow and rain on my life. Because I need your guidance and your direction, Lord. I'm in a tough spot here, and I need you. Teach me your way. Teach me your way. See, I've been like right now I'm in a school of hard knocks, Lord, and I need you to teach me. Teach me your way. You know, David had so many enemies, he had to give them different names. He had adversaries, right? He had foes. He had enemies. He had them all. He had them all. And it was coming from his family, coming from the outside. Some just said, hey, you know, hey, I'll join up with you to get David. You know, everybody was against him, it felt. And he was like, Lord, I need you to teach me how to deal with this situation. So often we have situations where we think we can deal with them without him. So we roll up our sleeves and we're going to deal with this. And we can deal. Sometimes we do it consciously, and sometimes we do it unconsciously. And we just roll up our sleeves and we can handle this and we can deal with it and we can do it in our own power. But the truth is that you need to go to school. The truth is that you need to sit at his feet. And you need to learn how to deal with some of these pressing situations. You need to learn how to deal with these adversities, this illness, this pain, this disappointment, these enemies, these frenemies. You need to learn how to deal with them, and he can teach you just how to deal with them. David has so many things on him at this time. And it's interesting because when you read down, you'll see that they were breathing out violence to him. Now, that's a funny phrase, breathing out violence. What it meant is that they were meditating on how to get this dude. They were meditating on what's the best way to get David? What is the best way to, like, I mean, we want to do him in. Let's have a meeting on how to get him. I'll think about it. You go home and I'll go home and all night long we'll think about how we're going to get David. They wanted to get him. They were breathing out this violence, meditating as to how to get him. They were committed to getting him. They weren't taking any type of breaks or vacations. They were after him. I read a phrase this week, and it says this, and now I would ask you a strange question. Who is the most diligent bishop in America that passes all the rest in doing the office good, doing his office well. There is one that passes all the others and is the most diligent bishop and preacher in America. And I know him well, and I know you know him too, because it is the devil. He takes no breaks. He takes no vacations. He plays for keeps. And while you up there thinking that you are chilling, he and his imps are trying to do you in. Trying to do you in while you thinking that it's sunshine and Skittles. He is trying to figure out a way to drag you down, beat you down. If it's through a situation, if it's through circumstance, if it's through a person, if it's through family, he is out to get you. And if you are not sitting at God's feet, if you are not opening up his word, if you are not saying to him, teach me, Lord, then you are in a world of trouble. You are in a world of trouble. The last thing he says is, he says that I need assurance. David said, I need some assurance. So he needed God's attention. He needed God's advice. And he wanted this for some assurance. He said, I would have despaired. I would have lost heart, he says in another translation, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You hear what he's saying here? He was saying that things were so bad. Things were so horrible. Things were so tough. He did not think he would see anything good on this side of life. He thought that he would just have to wait to go to heaven to see something good, something wholesome, something pleasant. He was saying that this thing was so rough that, you know, had it not been for my belief, had it not been for my belief in God, right, and in God's goodness, I wouldn't have thought I would see anything good on this side of life. So he was assured that God would be there. He suffered quite a bit. He lost friends. He lost house and home. He lost throne. He lost wife. He was cursed. He was denied. He was threatened. If you read the story of David, you wouldn't want to go through what he was going through. One writer said this: all David had to hold on to at one point was his naked faith. That means nothing else but his faith, right? That's the only thing that he had to hold on to. You know, it's interesting because in conversation now, I'm at this age where I used to hear folks talk like this, and now I'm talking like this with my friends since we've hit this age, and we say, man, what's going on with some of these young folks, man? I mean, man, man, if I needed a job, man, I don't care where, Burger King, McDonald's, I mean, but no, I'm waiting. What's wrong with them? They are up here like, I mean, bill after bill after bill, but they career. Man, you better get to McDonald's, Burger King until that career comes. What's wrong with them? What is wrong? I don't get it, man. What? did we raise them too soft? I mean, I come from like the projects and mayonnaise sandwiches and sugar water, you know. I mean, you know, I'm up there. I mean, diabetes going. I mean, but you know, we raised them on like Sunny Delight. You know, and all these ham sandwiches and artichokes and stuff like that. Man, no artichokes. I ain't have none of that stuff, man. Salmon. Man, I had sardines. Right? Are they soft now, man? They can't go through nothing now. They don't know what trials are about. And when something hard comes their way, they act like they can't deal with it. And we're up there saying, man, you know, life has told us to, hey, put on your big boy pants and deal with this thing. Be a man or be a woman, right? Especially if you done created the situation. Get yourself together. Right? Is it that, you know, God has encamped us so much and protected us so much and graced us so much here in America that we've become soft Christians? We don't know how to praise him. We don't know how to just say thank you, Lord, or anything else. And we have become so spoiled in our Christianity where we can't give him what he's due. Maybe he needs to like give us some hard times. Because if he gives us some hard times and he gives you some like some health scares and some financial scares and stuff like that, maybe you'll be like, Lord, hear my cry. You see what I'm saying? Lord, please hear my voice. Turn your face away from me. Lord, maybe you will cry out like David. Maybe you are just living too smooth right now. And maybe he needs to touch your life with something where you can appreciate the author of life. As the kids say, I'm just saying. Maybe that's it. Maybe then we will cry out for some attention, for his advice and guidance, so that we can have some blessed assurance. Because right now, we're living in Eden, like everything is tight. But the message here today is that we need to seek him. We need to sit at his feet. We need to visit where David is, and if we can visit there, we need with all our hearts and minds to try to stay there. To try to stay there. And I can say today, if you don't know him, if he is not even on your list of priorities, then here's the truth. When you're reading through these Psalms, you will see that there is a day of reckoning. There is a day where all the chips are going to be out there. They're going to be laid out there, and there's going to be no place for you to hide. It's going to be a record of you doing your thing. This year you've done your thing. Next year, you have done your thing. And then the next year, you've done your thing. And you've done it like you want to do it. It tells you, And it tells us from this pulpit to tell you that it will come a time where you have to answer to the one that created you. To the one that created you. So tell me this, as you go through your mind right now, are you ready to meet him? Have you lived for him? Have you made him first? Have you sought his face? Wanted attention from him and not from someone else? Have you sought his advice and his counsel, or did you listen to your pool of friends? Have you called out to him? Have you made him a priority? Have you made him a priority? Does your assurance rest in him? Or is your assurance in something that's fading and temporary? I told you all before, everything down here, it has an expiration date. Everything. I don't care what it is. That car, I don't care what you name it. It has an expiration date. It's just like milk. Just like milk. It has an expiration date. And sometimes you got to use it before it sours. You got to use it before it rusts. But everything down here has an expiration date. And here's the amazing thing that I want to leave you with. The amazing thing is that everything down here is temporary, but he made you eternal. How in the world can something temporary satisfy something eternal? How in the world someone that is eternal will even seek after something temporary to satisfy them? Lord, help us. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Amen. As we stand, we have altar workers here, and they can help you settle this thing with the Lord. They can help you settle this thing with the Lord. If you have a question in regards to salvation, if you have a question in regards to membership, if you want prayer, these altar workers are here just for that. Amen. And I ask that you don't leave here. Don't leave here without making sure that you have that assurance that David was talking about. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.